Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talkin'.
It is what it is.
Yo, yo, peace. We back in the building. It's your host, Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
This is Rigel, right here in the building. Mufasa.
All right. Ron,
absent.
Acid, okay, but we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We back in the building. This is, you know, the weekly, or I'm sorry, not weekly, but monthly open discussion show that we do. So you can give us a call. We'll be talking about anything that's on your mind. Like we always say, Collective Minds, we ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. You dig? So give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Give us a call. Hit us up. Let us know what's on your mind. And before we get started, Rigel, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
No announcements. I had another great week. Just busy. But no announcements. And, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. All right, that's what's up. Yeah, I don't have any announcements this week either. Just besides that, it's a heat wave here in the Lou.
We're
just trying to stay cool. You know what I'm saying? So we have officially hit the summer solstice. This was last week. You know, so it's officially summer, and that's how we rolling. It's just heating up, so
yeah,
stay cool if
you
can. Stay cool.
The sun is definitely keeping it on, keeping it 100 on us.
Right, keeping it 100 for real. All right. Well, yeah. I mean, it's since the last time we talked, since last week, which last week was a good show. We talked about the Central Park Five and the psychology of all that, and we had Dr. Umar stop through and chime in on it. So this week, like I say, it's an open discussion. So it's been a few things happened since last week. They had the Democratic debate. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, Roger, if you got a chance to hear any commentary on that. So that was going on also last week. And Officer got killed here in St. Louis at a Wellston market, at a market, you know, on the west side of St. Louis, on the county or county city border. Yeah, he was killed last week.
That
made a lot of noise in the news. Yeah, I think so. I think that was
actually during the session while we were on, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So that made some news. What else is going on?
I was just going to ask, did you see the video of the incident that happened? I think this has been out now for maybe 2 weeks, but I'm just seeing the video when the officers pulled the family over for the child who was allegedly taking something out of the store. Did you see that video?
Yeah, I did see that video. That video was very disturbing.
Yeah, it was.
For those of y'all that don't know, yeah, I think that was in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was a family, I believe, at a store. I can't remember the exact name of the store, but they was at a store, and, you know, the little kid, I think she was maybe 2, 3 or something, and she ended up picking up a doll and walking out of the store with the doll. So the police, you know, I guess they got a call that they stole the doll, but the way the police handled them, you know, when they had them on a parking lot, was ridiculous. You know, they pulled up, telling them to get the F out the car, don't move, I'll blow your heads out. I mean, they were using all type of language for a dog. You know what I'm saying? And being a kid, you know, I don't think it was nothing malicious or anything like that. And the parents may or may not have been aware of it. You know what I'm saying? But that's definitely not how you treat a family, you know, based on somebody stealing a doll. So that just goes to show, once again, you know what I'm saying, what we're up against and how, you know, as black people, we are behind enemy lines. And there's a two-tier justice system, or shall I say injustice system, you know, that we're dealing with. There's two tiers. There's a way in general that, you know, white people are dealt with, and then there's a way that black people are dealt with. So that was, you know, that was just another example of that. But that video is online. It went viral. You know, I'm sure, you know, people may have saw that. But, yeah, like I say, that just goes to show, you know, that we are behind enemy lines.
I saw the video finally. I believe it was late last night, and I was like, oh, my God. You know, it just, the way that they were, you know, operating, it was just very unprofessional. And I don't know why they feel like police officers don't need to have a sense of professionalism. You know, they're still dealing with the public, you know. And I don't understand why they think it's just okay to just treat anybody any kind of way if you're a police officer. And
right, well, not just anybody.
They're provoking and they create problems. Well, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Not just anybody.
Yeah, not just anybody. It's mainly black people. They feel like they can get away with it, you know. And that's just, you know, the unfortunate reality. But we say it is what it is. Now, before we go to the call lines, we'll get to the call lines in a second. If anybody's, you know, out there listening, you can give us a call. 929-477-1697. Now, this is a case, Roger, I don't know if you heard of this, so I want to get your thoughts on this. This is coming from Alabama. There was a pregnant woman who got into a fight, and during the course of the fight, she ended up getting shot and losing the baby. So the thing is, they're trying to charge her with manslaughter or some type of harm based on what was done to her child, because they're saying she caused the fight knowing she was pregnant, which resulted in the death of the unborn fetus.
Oh,
so they're trying to charge her with manslaughter.
Oh,
yeah, what you think about that?
That's interesting. I thought you was talking about the person who actually shot her.
No, both was going to be charged, but as I'm looking at the case, the woman who shot her was claiming self-defense. So now they're just trying to charge the mother, or who was pregnant at the time.
So she claimed self-defense, and apparently what it was proven that she was in the right, and it was self-defense. So now they're saying because you started the incident, you provoked it, then you're going to be charged with. I mean, that's interesting. I don't have a big strong opinion about it because I can kind of understand that. You know, if a person attacked me and I defend myself, I feel like if I'm defending myself, I shouldn't be charged with anything.
Right, right.
So that's,
let me just read this.
Looking at.
Yeah, just what they're reporting. This is an article from MSN News. Let me just read this. It says, Ms. Jones was 5 months pregnant and working at a company in Pleasant Grove that sells fuel for fires when she got involved in an altercation in the parking lot of the Dollar General store. The fight stemmed from a long simmering feud with a female coworker, Ebony Jemison, 23, over a man who worked at the same company. Ms. Jones spotted Ms. Jemison in the parking lot and started a fight with her, according to law enforcement, with direct acknowledgement of the investigation, who didn't want to be identified. By the officer's account, Ms. Jones was winning the fight and had Ms. Jemison pinned in her car. So Ms. Jones is the lady who was pregnant, and according to this report, she started a fight with the female coworker, Ebony Jemison. Goes on. The article says, after taking repeated blows, the officer said Ms. Jemison reached for a gun and fired point blank into Ms. Jones' stomach. Ms. Jones was driven to the hospital in a car that apparently broke down on the way. Paramedics eventually arrived and took her to the hospital, but her fetus, struck by a bullet, died. Okay. So yeah, they're trying to charge her with manslaughter. So I think that's interesting, because they're saying in Alabama, a fetus has as much rights as a person.
Right. So I guess they don't have the. I guess the abortions are definitely illegal there.
Right. Remember, Alabama was one of them states. That was on the the abortion thing that we had talked about. So
well, my opinion with that is, like I said, I'm just speaking from the point of view, if I was a victim of someone assaulting me and I defend myself, I don't think I should be charged with anything.
Right.
You know?
Gotcha.
I'm just
okay,
coming
and
from
then
that
okay
perspective.
Here. Right. Here's another little paragraph in the article. It says, last November, Alabama voters approved a ballot measure that amended the state's constitution to recognize the sanctity of unborn life and the rights of an unborn child. Okay. Okay, well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
We'll see how that
plays out. What are you thinking? You don't think, that's a fair charge? I wouldn't be mad at this either. If they felt like, okay, well, since we won't charge, like, for instance, just using myself as an example as a victim, we won't charge the victim and we won't necessarily have to charge the mother either, because losing her child is penalty, you know. I wouldn't be mad at that either, you know. I'm not saying that they have to take an extra step to punish her and put more on top of her.
Right.
I'm not suggesting that either, but what I am strongly saying is that if I'm an innocent person and I was attacked by someone and
right.
I had to defend myself, and you know, I shot. I mean, hey, if you was pregnant, I don't feel like I should be penalized. That's what I am strongly saying. But by me saying that, like I said again, I'm not suggesting that they have to take an extra step to penalize the person either. If she lost her child behind it, if they want to say, hey, that's a no penalty and I charge you anything, I'm not mad at that either.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, I don't know. I'll just put it like that, because I do feel like she is responsible for that child. And, you know, if this story is correct, she's starting to fight while she's pregnant. That's kind of negligent, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I would go so far as to charge her. Yeah, very irresponsible. But I don't know if I would charge her with manslaughter, even though her actions may have resulted in the death. So it's definitely some negligence there. But I don't know. That's interesting, you know. That's interesting how they're doing that. So
with that case.
Yep, see what's going on. Now, I had mentioned this to y'all before because we was doing the homicide stat count here in St. Louis, Missouri. So as it stands today, what's the date, July? No, I'm sorry, not July, but June 29th or 30th?
30th.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. Today is June 30th. As it stands today, there have been 91 homicides in St. Louis City, according to the St. Louis Police Department stats. And he was talking about whether it's going to be over 200 or less than 200 for the year. So at this point, it looks like we're looking at about 180, you know, give or take, for the year. We on pace for like 180, which would be less than last year when there was 187. It would also be less than 2017 when there was 205, and less than 2016 and 2015. I just wanted to put that out there, and I wish Mufasa was on so he could see where he stands, but he was thinking it was going to be over 200, which it still could be, but right now it's looking like it's on pace for about 180 murders for St. Louis City.
180.
Any thoughts on that?
I thought it was going to be more than 200 too. I'm still, unfortunately, still going for it. Maybe not hoping for it, but afraid that it may exceed 200 as far as the death. Summer is just really getting in. You know, we still have a few more holidays, so.
Right, right.
I'm still worried that it may still be more than 200. And shoot, even at 180, that's 200 all day long to me. If somebody asks me for $180, I'm going to feel like they asked me for two. If I have to spend $180, I'm going to feel like I have to spend $200. So 180, that's still 200 to me.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, that's still,
I mean, of course not technically.
Yeah, that's still 12 more lives, and you know what I'm saying? That's still 12 more lives and all that. But yeah, when we look at the stat, when I'm looking at this statute, there are, here it is, okay. The motives are unknown. There's 66 open cases. A lot of these are unsolved and unknown, and I just have a hard time believing that they cannot solve these murders. I mean, because when I ride through the streets, I don't know if you know this, but I see a lot of cameras everywhere. I see these little ports or little contraption things. They're like white, and they got the police thing on them, and they stand up and they blink red and blue, and I assume they got cameras on them. Like, I see these things everywhere on the streets, and just cameras on buildings and places of business.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard for me to believe that these cases are going unsolved. So that makes me think, there may be something else going on. Like, we would really have to look into this to see why all these murders are going unsolved like this. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Either the police are very incompetent, or they're complicit in it.
Either they don't know, don't show, or don't care what's going on in the But another theory, though.
Exactly.
Because, you know, it's a few, you know, it's, I don't think it's just one particular thing as far as why that is. But one other thing I can, you know, put a pin on is that at the end of the day, people, police officers, they are human. And
facts.
Unfortunately, as humans, we don't separate our job from our life. I mean, we do separate our job from our life. So we figure if we work, that's aside from our life. So the reason that that's important to understand is because when you have that mentality and you separate your job from your life, this is why it's important for us and people and for parents to teach their children, and we've heard this 1,000 times, do something that you love, do something that you enjoy, because then you include your job as your life, because work should not be separate from your life. We have one life. How we try to make job a second life that we have, and it's not. So when we have that mentality, we just go to work. We're not trying to do the extra stuff. And to go back and rewind cameras and knock on doors to get cameras and actually solve a case, it takes work. It takes effort. And most people just go to work, even though they're unfortunately police officers and doctors and community service people. They, if they have that understanding that work is separate from my life, they just going to work for the check so they can pay their bills. They're not trying to go and really be involved in the job that they're doing. You know, it's I know, you know, it's like that for people that work in other jobs like cashiers, McDonald's, or other jobs. And it's like that for community service workers too, like police officers, because they're still human. They just have a different type of a job or position that they're in. But if they still have the same mentality of another worker who is working, you know, at a grocery store or at a bank, where they just like, I'm just going to go in here, knock these little hours out, get my check, just do the bare minimum, don't really want to do all the time, do whatever you just need to do right then and there so you can look busy at work, so you don't get penalized at work. You're just doing it. And police officers, they're human too. They can have the same mentality. And I think that's one reason, but I don't think that's just one particular. That's the only reason. You know, I think there's other reasons. I
just
want to put that particular thing out, that I'm sure that plays a part too with why these crimes are going unsolved, you know. I'm
right,
sure you have another theory that you like to add too.
Right. Right, I think
I know
that plays
going.
A part as well. Right, but you already know where I'm going, because I keep everything in the context of the system. So I think it just shows the value of black life that's placed in society, in this particular society, because it all goes back to who the victims are of these crimes, of these homicides. Who are the victims? Because it's mighty strange when, you know, somebody gets killed, you know, in the Central West End, or a white person gets mugged or something downtown, those crimes get solved. But when it comes to black bodies, this is what I'm saying. So when it comes to black bodies or people who may be deemed as homeless or bums or whatever, you know what I'm saying, just black people who may be in certain type of conditions, we see that these lives are not valued. So as far as the police trying to solve these cases, like you say, they just come to work like, hey, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But if it's somebody of a certain stature, of a different race, then all of a sudden it's time to shake everybody down and see what happens. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it goes back
to another reason why
how black life is valued.
And I do agree. I want to add on something too to that, you know, because unfortunately we humans are ego driven beings for the most part. If you unaware, you know, you aware, then most times you try to suppress your ego. But for the most part, ego driven. So they already figure, since they, like you say, devalue black life, if they solve a murder of a of a white person, you know, there go the awards, there go the plaques, there go the raises, there go the bonuses, you know, so they also have, they looking to also gain some sort of a pat on the back, too. You know, I think it also comes with some, even if it, you know, like downtown, they have, if someone get killed down at the stadium or robbed, you know how much publicity they get when that happens. So to solve it, there goes, you know what I'm saying, the thumbs up and, you know, that type of psychological thing as well plays a part in it too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so. All right, y'all, if you're just joining us, this is Collective Minds Radio with Rigel Starr, and I am Cosmic Kev over here. And we in the building. We just chopping it up. It's an open discussion. We are about to get to the call lines here in 1 second. Now, another thing that happened, too, that I just want to put on the table, then we can get to the call lines, is the reparations discussion. So they had a, what you call it, a panel discussion or a hearing in Congress talking about reparations. But when I tell you this thing was a sham, I mean, they had Danny Glover up there, no disrespect to Danny Glover, and they had some other people, Ta-Nehisi Coates. They had these different people speak, basically sharing their opinion on reparations, and a lot of people were that they had come up there were going against reparations. Like, it was just some names and people that you may have never heard of besides, you know, Danny Glover and Ta-Nehisi Coates is pretty known. But other than that, they just had some random black people speaking on behalf of black people, you know, like we've elected these people to speak on our behalf and talk about reparations. But it was pretty interesting that they did that because it really kind of backfired and showed, you know, their disdain for black people and how they're really not feeling the reparations conversation. Even Mitch McConnell came out and said that, well, you know, we shouldn't be giving reparations for some that, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, we shouldn't be giving reparations for some that happened so long ago. And, you know, we didn't have a black president, like basically Obama was your reparations. And, you know, why would you want to, they paid us off with a black president.
Half black president at that.
Serious? Half black, not even African American. Right. Well, I guess he is African American, but he's not. His lineage doesn't connect with black people here in America. His ancestors, his father's Nigerian, his mother's white. So his lineage doesn't even connect with the black people over here. You know what I'm saying? And the only reason that Obama was able to get in was Michelle Obama gave him that street cred, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? She gave him that edge. Okay, you got a black wife. She made him black, so to speak. Yeah,
she
exactly.
Made him black.
She gave him that credibility within black society, really. Because if he had a white wife, I don't think it would have went down like that. And he even knew politically it was advantageous for him to get a black wife in order to get in a White House, right? So saying Obama is reparations for black people because we had him in office is like, that's like a slap in the face. So, you know, Mitch McConnell and all these old Democrats, the Democratic Party is about to burn. They are about to really go down. And they want to threaten us with, well, we don't want Trump in there another 4 years. It's like, we don't want y'all in there faking the funk and being just as racist, but doing it with a smile on your face. No. So the Democrats are really scrambling right now. They just had two debates last week. I think Thursday and Friday they had two debates in Miami. So they got a lot to do. Basically, at this point, any one of them that runs up against Trump is going to lose. You know, I've said that before. Trump is back in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, just prepare your mind. If you're not ready, you better get ready. Because the Democrats are basically full of it. And by black people being the base and us sticking on code and saying, look, if y'all not talking reparations, we just not going to vote for you. And the Democrats cannot win without the black vote. No matter what they say, they trying to pander to immigrants and immigration, what have you, but LGBT rights and all that type of stuff, whatever they doing with that, it doesn't matter because they cannot survive without the black vote. And many black people that I'm hearing, you know, and seeing are just not going to vote if they don't have a candidate that's speaking directly to black issues. Not minorities, not people of color, not disenfranchised, not the poor. No, specifically to black people, because as we know, black people are the biggest block of our biggest voting block that needs the most help at this point. You dig what I'm saying? Financial, economic, or otherwise. So, you know, they cannot survive. And the Democratic Party, I got a feeling they just go crash and burn. They're about to crash and burn this next election cycle. So, you know, it is what it is. It's but I just want to put that out there as far as reparations. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So I don't know if you had a response or you want to hit the call line. Let's see
yeah, we can go to the call line. We're about to wrap it up. Okay, area code 314-406, caller.
What's on your mind?
Caller, you there?
Yeah.
Oh,
Eddie
brother,
Kane
Papa
in the
just
building.
Joining us. Oh, let's get
Let's get a round of applause. We need some gunshots.
Eddie Kane.
Yeah.
Eddie Kane is in the building. There we
go.
Today
you David Ruffin. No show.
What's happening?
Ruffin, right.
Eddie Kane.
David Ruffin joined the state. You know that scene that scene when David Ruffin gave the man his coin. He's like, man, this show is for this show say Saturday. He's like, so? He's like, well, today is Sunday.
Let me say a few words real fast. My apologies to my co-host here. You know, and I thank you for holding it down. Your boy been in the streets for 2 days in this hot, blistering weather. Oh, my God. But I've been out in the streets talking with the community, building with our people, and it's been great work, fun work, needed work, but it zapped the life out your boy. And when the rest finally hit me, it hit me hard like a Mike Tyson blow. So I was down for the count for a few minutes, but I'm back up, y'all. Shout out to everyone who I got a chance to meet over the weekend. I wish I got a list, but I ain't going to go through it real quick. Shout out to the New Black Panther Party. Thank you for doing the good work in the community, feeding your people, clothing your people. Appreciate you. Thanks to the Nation of Islam. Thanks to St. Kofa organization. Thanks to Kim Gordon, our prosecutor here in St. Louis. There's a lot of black people out here fighting hard for the rights of black people. So I want to thank all y'all. And hopefully, I know I missed a lot of people, but I'll get you next go around.
All right. Well, welcome back, brother. We're good.
Call line. Area code 319.
Get it.
572, call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, thank you.
All right, peace. We appreciate you.
Appreciate that.
Yep.
Okay, let's do one more call before we get Mufasa some more to say. Area code 314-381, call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? I'm sure you do.
How y'all doing?
Hey, we're great.
All is well. Peace. How you be?
Glad
to hear you.
Nice and quiet and peaceful down south. sun shining. Don't hear no gunshots.
All right.
That's good.
That is a blessing.
Gas is gasoline about 218 a gallon, 220.
Oh yeah,
food
that's
cheap.
Good.
This
all
is
right,
what you
right.
call
the best life.
So in other words, you found a nice place for a black man in this earth to be in, right?
Yeah, you can say that. A lot of people down here, I see more Mexicans than that. You know, I can tell when these people don't have. I'm not saying this, but a lot of them don't use any credit cards or debit cards. They pay with cash. So
right.
you have to kind
right.
of wonder what's going on there. But no, it's a
yeah,
lot of
well.
Them down here.
What do you think it
yeah.
is, Colin? What do you think that is?
Well, I don't think that they have the necessary information where they can get the debit cards or credit cards. You know, you can get a debit card with $100. So they might be undocumented or illegal. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And remember last week Trump was he was about to stick ice on the illegals, and he kind of pulled back on that. But he was going to do a big roundup with ICE last week, but then they postponed it, you know, for a few weeks. So that's going to be interesting because they saying it's like, what was it? What was the number? A few hundred thousand illegals that they was going to round up. Like, I guess they had a list or something.
They well, they should.
After these folks, so.
You know, this country's population is supposed to increase to 447 million from the present 320, I think it is. Well, you know that ain't going to be black folks. And probably won't. So where are these folks coming from? So I think that, you know, I'm totally against the things that's going on with these illegal immigrants. I think they should be made to get out of the country, and they should come up with something else on the other side of the border. You can come here and fill out applications and for refugee status and then asylum. Let them do that in their own country or in Mexico. And you know the funny thing, they talk about the conditions so bad in their country. You can go on YouTube in all three of those countries, the three northern triangles, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras.
Nigga,
you go on YouTube,
you can pull up
Christmas in the malls where all these kids are sitting on Santa Claus' lap and having fun and having big firework parades outside. And you know, another scene on YouTube in those countries, you have these water parks where kids are just enjoying themselves. The high schools are having street side parades like we do with the Animal Long, and people are sitting out on the sidewalk at cafes. So I thought, and then you go in the markets. People are buying food, and they have vegetables. They're brightly colored, different colors. So where in the heck is all this terror and stuff at? And if it is so, why come the people that's enjoying themselves don't have consideration and concern about what's going on with their fellow countrymen?
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. It could be a situation where, you know, in a lot of countries, there's tiers to the system. You know what I'm saying? So you can have like a flourishing part of the country where people are doing good economically, but then you also have the other side where it's, you know,
like
destitute and run down and like Walnut Park, or you can look at Brazil. There's places in Brazil where, you know, it's flourishing, but then you got the favelas where people live, and it's crime ridden and destitute. So it could be.
All right, let's
you know,
look at Walnut Park. If things get so bad in Walnut Park, where will black folks go? They're gonna either go to South St. Louis, or they're gonna go out into the county. So you mean to tell me that those folks, if they live in a area, a community, neighborhood, that things are so bad they can't go over into the other side? They can't go into downtown area and sleep on the street? Who are they going to get the consequences from?
From the state, the government.
Oh, wait a minute.
The population.
Then why come you know, I'm just going to ask. That's a bunch of bullcrap. Why are they coming to the United States? Get on their own station. And you know another thing. Those countries belong to an organization which consists of 28 countries called the Organization of American States. It's sort of like the UN. And it consists of all of those countries in South America and even some in the Caribbean islands, like Cape Verde. And I think maybe France and Britain may be belonging to it. Why don't they take care of that problem?
I don't know. You mean, rephrase the question. You're saying why don't they?
Yeah, well, why come they don't address that problem? You got the AU
address
in Africa. The problem that's
right.
supposed to be causing all these problems in these three countries and probably more. Like, for instance, there's another country down there where there's a leader that's supposed to be so terrible, I can't think of the name of it. But if this man is so terrible, then why don't the Organization of American States send a contingent into the country and do what they need to do to clean it up? Do the same thing with the rest of the street gangs. You do that in those banana republics. Hell, the president of Mexico can kick people out of the country without due process. When you protest in Mexico, you better not pull out an American flag. You better not pull out a France flag. You're going to be in some serious trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
You cannot work.
Well,
you cannot vote.
Right. Well, I mean, when we talk about, like, Central America and those countries and Mexico, like, we got to understand it's an unwritten thing that the underworld runs a lot of the politics and things that go on in these countries. Like, you got the cartels, you got all these people. These entities and underworld groups are very powerful when it comes to politics and law enforcement and all these things. And it's kind of the same thing up here, even though we turn a blind eye, but the underworld really runs and funds this country via mostly drug money, you know, organized crime and things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know about that. And that could be a long discussion. But what I'm saying is that the United States have been given aid to those countries there in South America for a while. And the money that we've been giving them in order to address specifically some of these problems and also to help form their police departments to address the crime, apparently it's not doing any good. And Trump done the right thing
right.
when he said, that's it, no more. And as I said
right.
before, if you got these scenes of all this glamour and all this social enjoyment that's going on based on these YouTube flips. Because, you know, if you got a resort, they always advertise it. Oh, look. And they showing downtown. You know how they have these drones that fly overhead and they fly through downtown and showing how beautiful things are and all the markets and the traditional parades and the dancing and, well, then why come the people don't go over to these folks that's having a good time and get addressed for their problem? Their countrymen. And even the adjacent country, Bolivia, their countrymen. They know
right.
each other. They know the language and speak the eat the food and everything else. No, they just want to come up here to the United States based on some asserted, well-funded efforts. And as I keep on saying,
well,
you know, just like this one picture that they showed with this man who was going to commit a crime, took his kid with him, and they both end up dying. Why come he didn't come through the damn gate? He would have been alive today.
Right. Yeah.
Is he trying to swim across the river and come jump over a wall? Why didn't he go through the gates and he would have been alive today?
Maybe he was on a suicide mission.
I want to say something else, too. We talk about
a lot of ignorant folks out here.
And I know you got a little time, mm-hmm. not too much. But, you know, we talk about African Americans. You know, it's two things I like to always put emphasis on. And one is educational skills training and also the
right.
economics.
Right.
But as it stands, according to black demographic, and I'm not making fun of this, but it is something to be concerned of. 75% of black males and 67% of black females have no degree on down to not finishing high school. Something's wrong with that. And then when they become professionals, they are over concentrated in areas like business administration, services, and you know, like those jobs where you're managing people, a few people for somebody else.
Right.
So those jobs don't pay any money. If you look at the degrees and coursework that's going on with a lot of African Americans, they're in the humanities. What are the humanities? History, art, sociology. Those degrees don't pay no, I mean, they're not in great demand. And somebody mentioned something about some lady that had an accounting degree. Accounting is one of the businesses, or should I say profession, that's going to be extinct here in the next few years because of technology. So if your children, and then we talk about black businesses. And I'm talking about businesses in out-of-the-box areas. I'm not talking about grocery stores, because even that there is going to be a problem. But if you're not, if you don't have business people in these areas, what is mineral, transportation, the extraction of minerals, the processing of minerals, shipping and so forth, then if you don't have young people that's majoring in these areas so that they can be some proficient employees, then I mean, what's going on? That has to be done.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would agree with that. And the way, see, the thing is, the way the world is moving now, the, you know, the economy and the job market is going to look totally different in the next 5 to 10 years. Because remember, 20, 30 years ago, people was getting factory jobs. You know, you get your good factory job, work, benefits, and all that type of stuff. But those jobs are gone. You know, a lot of the trade jobs are leaving as well. And everything,
look what McDonald's is getting ready to do.
Technology. Even the grocery stores. Yeah, we talked about the grocery stores. Like, those jobs are going to be obsolete in a minute because they're going to have the self-checkout at a lot of these places. And you mentioned McDonald's. They're doing something where they could just have machines making burgers. Yeah, machines and robots making burgers and fixing your shakes and all that type of stuff. So,
and when you, go to the window,
Walmart already have a robot. Walmart already have a robot.
Right.
And when you go to the one, they're going to have speech recognition. That wasn't how this is going to work. Somebody pulling up and say, yo, man, I want something. This machine will be jacked up. What the hell you say?
Yeah, speech and facial recognition. So it's going to come. See, this is the thing. It's
going to
be
let me
point
speak
where,
to a representative. I hate that on the phone now.
Right.
Hey, you know something else, too? I think that these illegals that come into the country, they should be chipped. And they can say they're being chipped for safety. For one thing, being chipped so you know where the hell they are. Because in many cases, if they come in illegal, you ain't going to know where they are. But if you catch them, they should be immediately chipped, then processed however you want them to be processed. Then you always know where they are.
Right. And we ain't talking about cattle, though. We talking about humans.
Absolutely. You're going to have to do it. Don't they put a bracelet on their ankles? Same thing.
Yeah.
What would you do with them, Kevin? What would you do with them?
I would send them back. You know, if they didn't go through the process, I would send them back to their country. I mean, I know that.
Yeah, but the process may take years. That's another thing. Process take years.
See,
then while they're waiting, they don't have some babies. Then they're using the anchor baby excuse on the 14th Amendment. 14th Amendment never was for no damn anchor babies.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, well, we got to look at it. Everybody's trying to get over here based on the, you know, the opportunities and all that type of stuff, which they don't have.
And they going, Kevin. Because if you look at the technology that's out there now, especially in agriculture, they got technology now that can pick tomatoes, cucumbers, shake apples off the trees and scoop them up, pick strawberries even. Now, that's delicate. So the technology to do these things without any human intervention already exists.
Right, right. So that's going to be the dilemma here in the future, is what are we going to do with all these people that are not working and don't have skills, you know, to work? What are we going to do with all these people?
And
unfortunately, that includes a lot of black people.
Well, here's another point. Blacks ain't all that big of a number in the United States. I think you probably got 18 million blacks that's at the age of working. I'm just looking at that.
Right.
18, maybe
something
19
like that, yeah.
million. That ain't.
Right.
That's not a big number. And blacks are in a,
right.
I think, in a good position right now, but they don't last long. To get your young people into these high demand fields, and you know, they not for everybody, right? But how do you know that if they never are given a chance to see if they will fit in there?
Right.
So if your child, if these young blacks are never given the opportunity to be looked at, hell, right there on Vishon Field, you got combines going on. You're going to have them going on in July in the hot sun, trying to get the best kids so they can play on Vishon's high school football team. They're going to have basketball tryouts.
Right.
DJ had a big one someplace. I don't know where. They had it one year, last year, over at O'Fallon Tech High School field. So have something like that maybe where you can take young people and run them through some aptitude drills to see exactly what they would be likely to be good at. Then start concentrating on directing them into those areas. We shouldn't be bringing people from outside the country to do these jobs. These should be American jobs. And blacks should be up in arms. And these damn leaders ain't part of them. What's that representative down there in Texas, Green, talking about these LGBTQ? They need to have something for them. I can't. And you got this, they even asking for reparations.
Oh yeah, this same month.
Yeah, well, anyway,
I might not like this, but the other thing with our black kids, some of our black kids are so spoiled, and they're gonna have to quit being spoiled and put the loud down, and put that rap down.
Oh, then too,
body music down, and come on with, and want to get into some of these fields that you're talking about instead of want to be an entertainer.
Have y'all seen this hula stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Hula, y'all know what that is?
Hulu,
I guess it is. They got
anime games.
They got animated games where it's nothing but shooting going on. They even had a Christmas scene with Santa Claus was killing up folks.
Oh dang! Yeah.
The elves was killing up folks.
Yeah.
I ain't kidding you, man.
That's
totally ridiculous. Why do they have something like that? Where kids can watch this stuff, then you wonder where in the hell they get these ideas to get out here in the real world and start mimicking what they've seen on something
it's
like
brainwashing.
That.
It's brainwashing.
Exactly. That's why I'd be like, we need to, we got to give our kids more options, because as it stands today, you know, we got three options as far as what they push to get rich and, you know, have this lifestyle that people are trying to get. And that's sports, entertainment, or drug dealing. Those are the options that are kind of pushed in the forefront of our youth. And it's going to be up to us to expand those options, because people can only work with the information that they have. So if they don't know about architecture, or they don't know about engineering, they don't know about technology or coding or, you know, the internet, developing websites and, you know, these type of fields, it has to be up to us to enlighten them and share that type of stuff with them. Because, you like you say, you got kids want to be rappers, you know, want to be football players. And the chances of those things happening and you being very successful making a living are very slim.
How many kids like that was expended to create one LeBron James and one Kobe Bryant? How many kids?
Exactly. Yeah. And so I said, these kids got to want to do the work too. They got to want to use their brains to do something
maybe
like this.
Maybe we need to take kids from these parents and put them in a boarding situation. Then, put them through these rigors.
I think that would help. Because now I'm going to tell y'all this too, and y'all can agree or disagree, but I think another major problem that we have as black people is we don't travel enough. And I say that because when you travel, it opens you up. When you say boarding school and going away from your environment to learn and do your thing, that can be helpful. But black people as a group, we don't travel enough, and we don't have different experience and see different things that can open up our minds to want to do something different. You know what I'm saying? If you just stuck within a 4-block radius and that's all you see your whole life, then your options are going to be limited. You only go see certain things. But if you expand and get outside the box and get outside the block, you can see different options as far as, having a productive and successful life. But I think as a group, we don't travel enough, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we may not be able to do all the things that we talk about. At least you can think about them and talk about them with other people. And, out of that, hopefully something will spring forth. Anyway, I don't want to take up no more time.
All right. We appreciate it.
Go ahead, my bro.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Mufasa.
No, I was just going to touch on, right now, it's a shortage of people who want to get into skilled trades. Now, I remember coming up where I wanted to be an electrician. And it was hard, it's a very racist field. And it was hard to get into those fields, especially being, somebody of color. But now it's so wide open because so many young people don't want to do hands-on work. And in these trades, you can make good money. You can make good money in these trades. And so something has to be done to, get our kids to want to say, hey, I don't mind doing something hands-on. I want to, like I said, put down the loud or get off the game or get off the cell phone or get off the tablet and want to do some hands-on work. There's plenty of opportunities out here for people to make a living. You ain't got to be a millionaire, a gazillionaire, but you can start your trade. And, after that, you might can build a business up to where you can become a millionaire or open up a franchise or business. But the point I'm making is the trades game is suffering right now, and it's wide open for young youth who don't mind getting their hands dirty to get involved. Opportunities that wasn't there, just 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
Young men, a lot of young men they ain't interested in it. We got positions open at my employer, hands-on jobs. I mean, starting with good pay. And I can't even get young men to want to take the training to get involved. They don't want to do it. They don't want to do that hands-on type work.
Go ahead, Brother Kevin. What's he gonna say?
Go ahead.
Okay, I agree, and I actually think what the last caller just said about the boarding school, I think that is a excellent idea. I think that's something that should be implemented right away, especially instead of going to sending these kids to juvie when they get in trouble, send them, snatch them clean away from the parents, do the boys' school, or however. But I just think that's a great idea. And secondly, too, just to add on to what Mufasa was saying, it seems to me, too, and we kind of touched base on this before with the way that we produce and our environment that we create, the foods that we eat, everything, we are producing a lower grade of children, unfortunately. We're not, the kids that's being produced is just not a high quality, if that makes any sense. Because look how they're being created. Look at the environment they're being created in. All those things play a part in our development, stages from while we're in the womb. the things that's around the mother is important, the environment that the mother is in, the mentality of the mother, the food that the mother eats, play a major role in the quality of the child that's being in, that's growing in her. And I think with the way that society has been such a downgrade, we basically killing ourselves, you know. And I think it's
morally spiritual.
I think we are producing a lower quality of kids where they are numb to things. They don't want to do more. They don't want to put in, like you say, the hard work. I have to see that that's another dynamic of the issue that we're dealing with, too. So I think we should also keep that in mind, you know, which I know we've all said before, the importance of the home environment, and it starts at home and all that. But when you know it and you say it, you know, how many people are actually really trying to implement a change in their home? You know, it's easy for one to say, yeah, it starts at home. And then they turn around and turn on the Young and the Restless, you know. So it's like at some point, too, we have to also implement the things that we know so that way we can produce a higher quality child when we start reproducing. And, you know, we have to think about our partners who we're producing with. All those things play a major role, you know, because it affects the mental development of the child, basically. You know, if you have a child, like when I was pregnant, I played certain types of music for my kids, you know, because education starts from the womb. You know, school for my kids started while I had them in my stomach. And, you know, playing music, it opens up their mental waves. You know, it makes them already prepared. They're not starting late. So I think we have to think about those things, too, because I think that's why we have this issue with the youth now. Look at the food they're eating. Look how they're being raised with the food they're eating. They're eating, you know, chips, hot chips all the time, you know, all the time, and sodas and the stuff that they're eating, the quality of food that they're eating. It affects your brain mental, you know, how you develop. All that plays a major role in the development of a person. Weak bones and stuff, they're not eating. These kids, I'm telling you, the quality of these kids that we're producing is just not a good quality, unfortunately. You need kids that are ready to go out there when they come out, you know?
And you got a society that's pumping them up to be dope fiends. You know, all the music
exactly.
that they love to listen to. You know, wants to put them straight on drugs. You
yeah,
know,
absolutely.
We got a dope fiend. We got a dope fiend. Young generation that's already come up being dope fiends. That's popular now to be dope fiends. It was not the case back in.
Totally agree.
In okay. You know, and like
totally
I was telling
agree.
Y'all, like I was out in the community a lot this weekend. You know, I was at an event yesterday, commemorating Black Wall Street in one of our black communities that needs to be redeveloped, Wellston. And I'm sure y'all done been through Wellston lately, but I went through there a couple of days ago before this event kicked off, and it just would hurt my heart to see some of these young men and women that's just roaming up and down the streets, you know, doped out. And, you know, drugged out. And I'm seeing that ain't just old people, it's young people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just straight up out in the streets like zombies, talking to themselves, spinning circles. You know, they own all types of drugs. And it really broke my heart to see that this weekend. You know, I've seen it all the time, but.
All right, yeah. I mean, I agree. Then we also got to look at the other side because I see a lot of articles of stuff, you know, people being shared of. I just pulled up an article, this 15-year-old black girl from New Jersey, she got accepted to Harvard, and she actually got acceptance letters from, like, 10 other Ivy League colleges. And you see stories all the time where you see these young, brilliant black kids that are graduating not high school but college at like 16, 17. So just not to be all doom and gloom, we do have some star seeds out there. We do have some indigo children. We do have some dynamic kids. However, it's not the majority.
Yeah, we want more.
It's not enough. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. We need more. But there are kids out there, you know, and a lot of these kids, which should be a note to every parent, including myself, a lot of these kids are homeschooled, right? So they get homeschooled. They graduate at 12, 13, and then they on to college and doing other things. So that just goes to show that homeschooling is actually the best option, especially for, you know, black and melanated kids. You know what I'm saying? But there are a lot of kids that, like I say, get a lot of acceptance offers, a lot of star seeds, a lot of geniuses that come up with a lot of things. And you see some people sharing these things online. So I understand what we were saying, but I just want to offer another side to where it's not, you know, all doom and gloom, where there is a little bit of light and a little bit of hope as far as, you know, some of our babies doing phenomenal things. So, yeah, if we you want to get to another call, or what you want to do, right, Jim?
I'll just add to that. Yeah, I think homeschooling is definitely a good way to go. And I've been contemplating.
Okay.
I have a small child now, and she's not so small right now, but she's 13. I've been thinking about homeschooling her for the past couple of years, and I'm really moving toward that. I think it's something that I'm ready to jump off and do. I've been trying to implement some things throughout this summer just as a test trial to see how it will work, but I think she's ready for it, and I'm also ready to kind of get her out the system as well, you know, so it's twofold, and I think she's capable of doing it. You know, she's an author, you know, she's learning how to play instruments,
right,
and things like that, and learn how to, you know, do music and all that. So I,
that's right.
You know, I'm really, really, you know, want to do that. But, yeah, let's go to the call. I think we have a caller that want to say something real fast. Got a notification. Area code 314-381. Call, you back on.
I was going to ask you, how old is your daughter?
She's 13. She's an author. She wrote a book about 2 years ago. It's on Amazon. And
let me give you some advice. 13 is his birthday. You want to have her independently assessed. And you can go to Sliven, and they'll do that to let you know exactly where she is in the critical subjects. And what I'll do, I used to lecture parents on how to prepare their children for higher education, give them information about scholarships, tutoring services, and some of the stuff is still pertinent. And I send that to SU on disruptive email site, isn't it, Kevin? Is that your email address?
That's me.
All right,
disruptive.
So I send it to
sir.
You, Kevin, and he'll make sure that you get it.
Okay.
Yes,
I appreciate that. That'll be good, because I think she's capable of handling it. She's always kind of been, you know, a little bit different from the kids her age. So I'm definitely interested.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, if you think about the educational system, everything we learn in those 12 years of school, we could probably learn in 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they could really cram it down, but they just stretch it out to the, you know, to those 12 years. So,
you
know, homeschooling allows you to
accelerate. They get money for it, you know.
Yeah, of course. They get money for that. Exactly.
In there,
exactly.
So you know they're going to stretch it out.
Exactly.
I was the one that, like I said, when I was talking about trades earlier, I'm the type that like trades. So, hey, they could have put some tools in my hand in the fifth grade and trained me on up, and I'd have been cool.
all that extra stuff.
There you go.
It wasn't for me. I'm just being honest when it came to me. I didn't need to tell me how to give. After I learned how to read and add and subtract, hey, put me some tools in my hand, show me how to go ahead and make me some money, and I'm good. For me.
There you go. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I definitely understand that. Yeah, because a lot of the stuff is
every society.
It's really just time.
We can have a lot of brainiacs. You know what I'm saying? But still, a society got to have a labor force. You got to, and so people we had to stop shunning upon, like that's not good enough. You know what I mean? That's to be a laborer ain't good. We need those jobs are needed as well. It's a need. Everybody can't be you know what I'm saying, the CEO. Somebody got to implement the plan. Somebody got to get up, be the boots on the ground. So all these come hand in hand to make a society.
That's a fact.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fact. I mean, you got electrician, you got HVAC, you got plumbing, you got all
carpentry.
These different, like, these
masonry.
Things, carpentry, right, masonry, like, these things are definitely needed, and they're not going nowhere. Technology may make them easy, but those jobs are not going nowhere, especially with plumbing and electrician and HVAC. You need a physical person to go in there and do that work. You know what I'm saying? You need a physical person. Like, he may have different tools that help him as far as the technology goes, but you're still going to need a person to go in there and check things out and, you know, and talk to the
we
people.
Got a,
so,
I know
yeah,
a young
you
man.
Definitely.
I know a young man. Hopefully somebody that's listening can share this with their kids or whatnot, but it was a young man that came straight out of high school, as I know, and he went to the where'd he went to? Anyway, he took a trade class. He didn't even go get like a big whole trade degree, and he took a class. And after he came out of that class, the pipe fitters union snatched him right on up. Snatched him up straight out of the class. He's talking about 18, 19-year-old kid. And they gave him so many hours already because he took this class that goes towards his journeyman status. Long story short, in about a year, he'll be making 30 plus an hour out in the field. Mm, so you got a young man in his early 20s making, that's good money. That's good money. You can take that money, build you a nice family, and use it, invest it wisely, you know, be very creative in how you want to, you know, start out your own business. But it's lots
that's
of opportunities out here like that, and we need young people to take advantage of them.
That's right. They are out here. And as we wind down, y'all, this has been the open discussion topic. You know, we didn't talk about a lot of things going on, so it's been a good show. This is Collective Minds. But, Mufasa, what you were saying is right and exact, brother. Because I think, from my opinion, and, you know, I hope I'm at least close, but I think we are starting to get the picture that, at least when it comes to the drug game or illegal businesses like that, especially hard drugs, that's a no-win situation. You know what I'm saying? We starting to get that is a trap. Now, as far as the drug use, that may be a different part, but I'm talking about as far as, you know, people having these aspirations of being Nino Brown or Scarface and all that type of stuff. I hope and I think that type of thing is dying down. Not completely, of course, but you know what I'm saying? I just hope that not too many people are taking that route, because that's a trap and it only ends up one or two ways. You know what I'm saying? And we starting to realize that.
That's too slow. That's too far. See, we're gonna have to have a discussion about this maybe, you know, next week or down the road. Because, you know, like I said before, if there wasn't a demand, you know, these drug dealers wouldn't have nobody to sell to. So, this
supply and demand.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is true. And I asked the question, and, you know, we might have a little time to go on and on this. But my thing with illegal drugs, I think drugs should be legal. And I asked the question, if drugs were legal, do y'all think more people would use drugs? meaning the hard stuff. Now, when I say drugs, I never include weed and marijuana, even though that's a drug, but I don't include that. I'm talking about hard stuff. If crack was legal, do you think more people would use crack or heroin or whatever?
No, I wouldn't.
Right. I don't think more people would. I don't think more people would use drugs if they was legal. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's a way where society should be able to control and not criminalize, because like you just said, it's a supply and demand business. Like, I'm not looking at the morality of it. It's a supply and demand business. And if crack was illegal, was made legal today, I'm not going to start smoking crack. No, I'm not. Because when people get to drugs like that, crack, heroin, there's some other issues going on with them. You know what I'm saying? Those are societal issues that are going on with them. It could be family. It could be, you know, some type of molestation or some type of abuse. But it's something else going on that drives a person to use those type of substances. So I don't think necessarily making it legal is going to make just ordinary people start using it. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of drugs are being decriminalized. I think they just decriminalized marijuana in Illinois, I believe, and for recreational use. They did the same thing in New York. So they are starting to roll back a lot of the criminalization of at least marijuana and some of the, taking them down from a Schedule C drug to something less and misdemeanors and things like that. So I think that's necessary, you know. But again, I was watching a series today. There's a series called Dope where they just go. Like, it's a series where they interview the drug dealers and then they also go on missions with the police. Very interesting little docuseries, very interesting, where they go all around the world from Bolivia, Colombia, to Mexico, all the way to Miami, Dominican Republic, even off to California, New York, like all these different places where these drug hotspots are, and they kind of give you, you know, details and insight of what, you know, these people are doing in the drug culture and things like that. And it was very interesting, you know, the process of the drugs getting over here, for one, and then how they're distributed once they get over here. You know what I'm saying? And like I say, I think a lot of all that stuff is government anyway, but, you know, that's another topic for another time. But America has a big drug problem. You know, we can say that it's huge. A lot of the cocaine and heroin comes over here. That's why you got a lot of the opioids. And then not to mention the big pharmaceutical companies. You know, those drugs kill more people than any other drugs combined. The big pharmaceuticals. And that's what get people hooked on the opioids. So, you know, They want to keep Americans drugged up and distracted so they can do their thing. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's where we at. That's where we at, y'all. Before we
go. I don't know if y'all want to.
Go ahead, man.
Go ahead.
No, real quick. Just the homicide count for St. Louis City, we had 91 homicides for 2019. And we were saying whether it's going to be over 200 or below 2. Right now, as it stands, we on pace for about 182 murders in the city of St. Louis. So this is not including the county, so just keep that in mind. This is just the city. We on pace for about 180. You still think it's going to be over 2, or you think under 2? What's your assessment?
I thought the last time we did our count, I said 175. Did I go to the 2 mark?
I don't know. You may have, but
I thought I said 175, but if we're gonna include the county, then yeah, I'm still gonna stick with I'll go with it. If we're gonna include the county, I'm definitely gonna say over 200. If we just gonna say St. Louis City,
yeah.
I'll stay at the 175 for now.
Okay. Yeah, if we include the county, see, I'm just looking at the city. If we include the county, yes, it would be definitely over two. I would say over two.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, the city, you know, I think it may be a little less than two. You know, at least I'm hoping that it's less than two. But anything under 187 would be less than the last 4 years.
187.
So anything
187.
187. Yeah, 180, which is ironic because that's the murder code.
Well, yeah,
it's a murder code, but you know, that's the
lowest. I was gonna ask y'all this real quick too.
4 years. Yep.
I don't know if y'all had touched this earlier, but did anybody make any statements about what we saw from the Megan Thee Stallion concert? Was y'all touch on that?
Oh,
or y'all
no,
left that alone?
We didn't even touch on that. Yeah, we left that alone. We should have went in, but we left that alone.
Oh, that was horrible.
But, yeah. Anybody want to break it down for anybody in case they missed the video? Break it down. What was on the video, my brother? What you see?
What I saw from Megan Thee Stallion walking on stage, it was like I saw Lucifer walking on stage, pulling all her little demons on the stage and having them show out. It just show how unrighteous we could be. And the sad part is, you know, there's a lot of young people at this thing. It's a lot of our young folks that look up to this Megan Thee Stallion, which, you know, Sister Raiju already broke down to us off air. A stallion is a what? Oh, she dropped off.
It is a male horse.
And you got this woman calling herself a male horse. And, you know, everything is upside down, inside out in our culture. But what I saw on that stage was a hot mess. It was something that really concerns me and how our young folks is getting down.
Shout out to Megan. You know, with the wickedness of Hollywood, I wouldn't be surprised to learn that Megan Thee Stallion, Megan the male horse, is a man. Now, the video that you're talking about, if you can recall, it was more men on stage twerking than women.
Right.
That is just...
Debauchery. It was straight debauchery.
Inside out, upside down.
And I be trying, you know, because, you know, we getting old. I be trying not to be the old guy that just ridicules the youth and all. But it would be different if we had more balance. But what I'm seeing from all the mainstream rappers, and since we're talking about females, Megan Thee Stallion, all of these young girls are former strippers or sex workers, or they were in the industry. It's like, what type of message are we sending to our young girls? I have two young girls, and it really concerns me the type of things that, you know, the women that are popular, Cardi B, Meg Thee Stallion, the City Girls, you know, all these females that are entertainers and in the limelight, it just disturbs me the way they act. Especially having two young girls who are, you know, very impressionable. Like, that really does concern me. And it wouldn't be, like I say, it wouldn't be too bad if there was just some balance. If we had, you know, some MC Lights out there, some Queen Latifah, some people, Lauryn Hill's out there that was really, you know, and they are out there, but they're just not mainstream.
They ain't allowed to shine.
Yeah, they're not allowed to shine. Yeah, and it's very disturbing because what I seen on that stage was something else. Like, I don't even have the words to describe it. It was something else, you know. Mm-hmm. But I try not to be the only guy. You know, but
and the thing is, and another interesting thing about it too is that I don't see. I mean, it's not like she's talented. It's like, where's the talent? If she has talent, it's definitely not lyrical.
She could twerk. She could twerk.
So it's like, where is this talent at? You know,
outstanding.
It's like, I mean,
but again. You know, they paying her to keep up that agenda because they want, because that's safe. You know, if our women were to wake up and really be on their square, that'd be a problem, right? But it's cool to just have our women half naked twerking and not worried about nothing. You know,
is it true,
that,
brother
Kev?
Cool, is it true? Is it true that a nation can rise no higher than his woman?
That's an absolute fact. That's a fact.
So that we. That's why our black women is under attack like they are, because they know
that's a fact.
A nation can rise no higher than its woman. So if you're going to put them type of women out here as the standard for black women.
Right. Yeah. That's a problem.
We
ain't got no hope. We ain't got no chance in H-E double hockey sticks. Real.
Yeah, the fight is real,
so. We winding down, y'all. I'm gonna let Mufasa and Elijah wrap us up, but I want to appreciate and say thank you to all the callers and supporters. We appreciate y'all every week, and join us next week, family. I'm gonna let y'all wrap it up.
Well, that's what's up. Hey, assalamu alaikum, Hotep, Abari Ghani, to all our people out there. Thank you for supporting us. Hey, and no, I'm not going to say that because it's going to get me started on the whole rant about Megan again. Just, you know, continue to love and support each other, family. Let's build each other up. Let's uplift each other and not tear each other down.
That's right.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Yeah, totally agree with everything. So I also like to thank all our supporters, you know, all our listeners, our callers. Continue to support us. As Brother Kev said, we appreciate you always. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Keep up with the upcoming shows that we have coming up and special guests as well. If you have any show topics, ideas, send us an email at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. And tune in next week. Look forward to talking with you guys. Peace.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talkin'.
Like it.